Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of His love mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Turn with me to the Bible now in the book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 5 and verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. Chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Philippians chapter 1 verse 10. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, Lord. Asking, Father, that you just open a little of thy word this morning as we look into it, Lord, a little nugget to come our way, that we pick it up, Father, and keep it in our heart, in our hour that we live in, Lord, in this time. Seeing the day fast approaching, Father, for the return of your blessed Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now you know, in the trip to the States and having met all these brethren that came across our website, somehow correspond with me, and having been there and been with them, it is no wonder that in seeing all this, that truly there is a hungry in people's heart to want to get right back into the word of the Lord, as the prophet brought a message to bring us right back to it. And these different ministers that I talked to, different ministers that I have the privilege to meet, I could see that they expressed themselves sincerely and truthfully in their faith, in what they believe. They have been, of course, mixing around with, or, well, like we did in the early days. When you come to the message, the first thing you know is usually all these big groups. But by and by, as you get along with them, you realize something is wrong. And the word that is, well, the word that were being ministered, they're not really word-based, but based on the quotes and statements of the prophet, Brother Branham. And I could see, of course, as when I was there learning some of the things and how even some of the things that I heard, I said, well, it's all over here in Singapore. And these are the things that has been spread around here in this part of the world. You know, we are familiar with the teaching here in Singapore by that other group that the rapture is come and gone, and that they are in the millennium, and even to the extent that there is no need for communion, no need for foot washing. And I know that this doctrine can never come out of Singapore alone. When I was over there, of course, I heard that, well, it started from a man, a minister that I heard him preach on tapes before. He used to send me some of his tapes in the past. And he was teaching these things. So I said, well, it has to come out from America, no matter what, and travel all around the world. America is a cesspool of false doctrine, like it or not. The devil has always been using America in many ways since when America as a nation pulled away from, well, we say they give heed to Sedition Spirit to remove the Bible out of schools, a public institution, take the Bible even out of some courtroom. And you can even see some of the things going on even in America today. How that someone is trying to get some judge to remove some Bible verses from the wall or plaque or something. You know, we have this message that God has given us. But yet many people in this entire message do not really know what the message was sent for. A couple of days ago, of course, I get to talk to some visitors to Singapore. And talk a little bit more with them, I begin to realize something. That there are people in this end time message that base themselves only solely upon the words of the prophet, yet they are in such a way they can say that they believe the Bible. You approach a brother or a believer and ask him, or a minister especially, what is your absolute? They will say, the Bible is my absolute. And by and by, when you get to know them a little bit more, you realize something. That they will say that we have to believe every word the prophet speaks. Every word that the prophet had spoken. Now, in a very strange and subtle way, that's how they will tell you they believe the Bible being absolute, yet going back to believe every word the prophet has spoken. Now, you know, I want to present a little something here today to kickstart some of the things that we can say or share a little later in detail. In the world, today, we have the church world, or the various denominations. We have the church in the world, the church, so-called church. Is that right? Everybody knows that I belong to the church, I'm Christian, the church. In the church, we have the gospel, or we have the word, well, of God, and people believe that, they believe the Bible. I believe in John 3:16. I believe in Jesus Christ. I have repented of my sin. I've received the Holy Ghost. I spoke in tongues, whatever. Now, this one big church world, and yet within that, you have the different group, the Anglican, the Baptist, the Episcopalian, any letter of the alphabet, probably you can find a church denomination. Huh? The UPC, and the Assemblies of God, the Pentecostal Holiness, you have the Lutheran, the Charismatic, 1,001. I mean, there are about 2,000 denominations in the world, and they're already split. Hundreds of them are each different group. Now we know, and you all know, that this so-called church as a whole in the world cannot be the church of Christ. Cannot be the true church of Christ. Of course, the church of Christ, that is a denomination, claim that they are the true church. God cannot have all this kind of a different Christian group making up His bride that make up the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ is not a patchwork. You know what I mean? Like, you know what patchwork is? You ever buy those blankets with all these pieces of cloth that your grandmother or what, you know, pick up from here and there and then cut into a rectangular square shape or whatever and then stitch it all into a nice piece of blanket. The body of Christ is not like that. The body of Christ is only one complete whole, same in every area of the body. Is that right? Not Anglican here in one part of the finger, or another finger is an examines of God, or the head is make up of UPC, or another part of the body is a Lutheran, or the Episcopal. No, it's not. There's no such thing as that that form the body of Jesus Christ. So in that, why did God give a message? It's apparently to pull out the elect out of this whole
whole church, as it is called. The church in the world is not the body of Christ. The church of God is made up of elect, born-again, sanctified children of God that sticks with the Bible. Because that's what the Bible was given for. The Bible, Jesus Christ said, the word in the volume of books, they declare who I am. And John, the beloved, on the eyes of Patmos was told to eat of the little book. Told to eat of it. The book of redemption. Redemption already been completed, done at Calvary when Christ died, buried, resurrected, and ascended in heaven. Is that right? And he had taken the scroll in his hand and is coming to claim everything now. So redemption is about to end as far as the church is concerned, to take the bride out first. Then go to the Jew and take the Jew. Then come back and reign upon this earth. Then take all back to himself. And then we will have a new heaven, new earth. So that is what we need to eat of the word of God. So that message that was sent was to call our people out of this church. You know, within quotation, as I say, church. Do you go to church? Yes, I go to church. You know how people say that? Huh? Do you go to church? It's the party. He said, yeah. Brother Cuddy, do you go to church? Yes. You got a friend who's a charismatic, episcopal. Do you go to church? Yes, I go to church. But not the churches of the world, not the church of God, as you know that. It's made up of the body that have been foreordained of God, predestinated. Now the matter was given to call us out. Obviously to call those that are trapped in the system. Those that are trapped and seduced or in bondage. A prison has no bar. A spiritual prison. People are deceived and locked up in there. Now I tell you one thing, many of the sheep in every church, even here today, sitting here. And I want to tell you one thing about sheep. You need a shepherd. We all know that. Every sheep needs a shepherd. But one thing for sure, the sheep is not to be stupid. And I hope you are not. Huh? A shepherd will take the sheep to the green pasture to eat. You know right? Now what happens if the pasture, the fields are all kind of dried up now. There are only a little sprout here and there, little greens here and there. That's all that the pastor could do, bring them to that field. There's no other field. You know, there might be some drop that passed through the lane. Now what do you think the sheep would do? Do you think they were going to eat all those dry grass? Would they? They would know. They would look for all the little green that could be in among those dry grasses. You understand? That are just sprouting out. They ought to be smart enough to at least to know what to eat. And some of us Christians, some of us believers, don't even check the Bible. You don't even read the Bible. That's what I'm saying. They go to church. You hear what pastor say, amen, and they go home. Now I want you to be wise, like the Berean, to check out those things, whether they are true or not. We have all these denominations, church to church, Derek. They are inside there. I know we are trapped inside there once upon a time. Maybe you are not. Maybe you are trapped under the water, Brother Sung. Huh? A sister party, maybe you were, when you were not a Christian before, you were somewhere out in the world. But the message was given to call the people. So when you get out of this whole church world now, well, we come into the message. Huh. Very nice word in it. Are you in the message, brother? We always say that now, the virgins, right? Do you believe the message? Do you believe the anti message? Are you in the message? So this all this word that has been used, as if that, oh yeah, I'm the message. I believe the message. I believe anti message. The big deal, you know. Now people all come out and they get into this. Those that could see the word that God had given. But you know what? How do you look at the word that God gave? What was the message given for? Well, to call us out from the system? Well, these people come out from the system. Yeah, they all come out from the system.
the 1,000 and 1,000, 3,000, 33,000, more than that, you know, all these various little groups, friction or whatever. Well, they all come into the message. Now we have the message church around the world. Message church around the world, right? Is that right? Are you an eagle? I'm an eagle. Are you an eagle? Everybody's an eagle. As long as it's in the message, you are eagle. That's what it is, you know. Okay, fine, you're an eagle, but what kind of eagle are you? Are you a flying eagle, or the one squatting on the rock? Or the one in the chicken yard? Or the one on the cliff? Or the one on top of the tree? Or one just sitting in the nest? What kind of eagle are you? Are you the boy eagle? Are you the golden eagle? Are you the one that, the eagle that what they call a fish eating eagle? I mean, you call it, everybody like to call them, oh, you're an eagle, you know? I mean, that's a big thing those times back then. You come into this message. Now here, one big body, massive church now. What different is this massive church compared to the church in the world out there? Well, the church in the world, they also make up of churches, right? A schism, all the different groups. Well, the massive church also make up a schism. Churches that are broken up into various little groups. What's the difference? You have two souls? Huh? Probably have heard of it. You have those that believe in polygamy and preaching polygamy. Those that believe that thunder are a seven virtue. There you go. Huh? Those that believe the Brother Branham is the absolute. Those that believe that Brother Branham's new name was the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And then there are others. Well, goodness know what. Huh? Those that, oh, Brother Branham is going to right-track again. And right the trail one more time. He's going to right the trail one more time. And there are those that say that the 10th vision has not been fulfilled. Brother Branham is going to come up again and go for and will have a big pen, and he will go and start the same ministry of healing and miracles again, the 10th vision. Right, the return ministry, they call it. Wow, there are so many. There are so many. Those that said he must stick with the word exactly, verbatim. What's the difference between that church in the world and the church called the message, anti-message church? There's no difference as far as I'm concerned. The very fact is that people are confused because they do not recognize the word, like the denomination did not recognize the word. The anti-message people also, they do not recognize the word. You think they do? If you do recognize the word, there would have been a unity. There would have been a church. You know, when I first came into this anti-message church, I thought, wow, what a message. What a truth. And I thought everybody is the same. Everybody believe the same. Oh no. It turned out that's not true. Huh? And it's so scary when people in this anti-message, when you try to share with them some truth, and when you show them the scripture, they remain very quiet. Or they become very aggressive. And they begin to tell you something. Those that are aggressive, outspoken, they will tell you they always did. They did that to me many times. Who are you, Brother Jan? Brother Abraham's vindicated. Who are you? You know, one time when I talked to somebody, I said, you know, the proverb brought us back to the Bible. We're supposed to return to the Bible and look at it. The fivefold ministry are supposed to do it. You know what he told me? He said, Brother Jan, let me tell you this. Denomination has been doing that for thousands of years. They have been trying to interpret the word. And they create a mess. And that's why you have all these different fractions. So who are you to say that we should go back to the Bible and do just that? When they fail. We have to stick to the words of the prophet. That's what he was telling me. We have, because only the prophet can interpret the word. He was God's spokesman. And the word of the Lord comes only through the prophet. And this man just quoting just like that. So nobody else could. So nobody else could interpret the Bible. You know what? When a man talks like this, you can be very sure. He had a Bible. He has a Bible. He would have all the books of Brother Branham, but he'll never touch his Bible. Because the books of Brother Branham, or the tapes of Brother Branham, they became his Bible. Do you see what I'm getting at? So when we have all these different groups now in this end time message church, for sure, like I think it was Sister Piper, was it not, that, or the other sister was telling me that there was a talk show on TV in America. You know, American, they like talk show, all the garbage. They you know, they crack joke about somebody else, or run down somebody else. They can run down their president or whoever they want to run down. And on the talk show, there was something about, I think, mentioned about this anti-message people. And all the talk show host says this. Wow, people say it's a cult. It's not a cult. You know why it's not a cult? Because they all cannot agree. And that is true. Because in a cult, everybody agrees. Denomination called the anti-message people a cult. Well, they are partially right in a certain way. Because, you know, when we look at it, those who are in Branhamism, those who are Branhamites, they are in a cultic move. That's why, you know, Brother Jim Haberman, he was, Brother Piper and his sister, Daniel, was telling me, he was very afraid to really be part of it. Because here you're talking about another man. Because he was already involved with a false cult. A man whose name is Mike Ryan. Taking people's farm. I don't know why he teaches anyway, but somehow he got his brother, his cousin Tim Haberman involved. Haberkam involved. But it was so sad that, you know, Jim went out to steal the combine. But his other cousin was involved in that killing of the man and the young man. And a little boy. And so, Tim had a heavier sentence for life. What had Jim Watson? Because he was out in the field. And no wonder, you know, that pain, realizing that here you're talking about a man. And that's why he wanted no part in it. And know why? That's not what a cult really is you follow a man. In this end-time message, when you talk about the message, people like to say, you know, they would like to quote what Paul said to Timothy, follow me as I follow Christ. But, well, that's by looking at, by simply taking the word out of Scripture, that is to say, you are talking about following a man, Brother Branham, and so much as to say his every word. Paul is saying that you follow me as I follow Christ by my example. What I believe, follow Christ. As I follow Christ, follow! We follow Brother Branham by following what he teaches, according to what he received from Christ. Not following his every word. When we do that, we actually become a cult. If we follow a man's every word. Here, I received I just received this when I came back. Here was an article that was sent to me. It was in a reply to a man called Holloman. And the person who wrote this, he just signed himself off as Brother Dave. Now this Holloman believed in the return ministry. The Brother Ben was to fulfill the 10th vision. Now here was this man, Dave. He replied, and here is something that I want to read what he said here. And I think I mean, this is what we have been talking about, but he wrote it he wrote it pretty well, it's well written in such a way that I think it's worth reading out. So the people on the internet will have at least a chance to hear. Let me read it from him, what he wrote to, in reply to this other man. Quote, I think the first thing we both must establish is Brother Branham and the ministry. Because I believe there are two parts. The first part is William Branham, the man. which is more than capable of making mistakes and also admitted freely to his shortcomings. You know, this is what we've been believing. But sometimes when you tell people that brother make mistakes, they try to sit on you. Right? Well, let me continue quoting. He lost hope and Sharon rose because of his disobedience. Then there was the ministry of William Brandt as a Seventh Church Age messenger under the office of a prophet. Here again we find some mistakes which Brother Brandt made even under the office. His first rebuke from the Lord, again in the vision, was for teaching the supernatural things to babies. This was not his office or calling. And the Lord told him there would be impersonation because of this, and he would be held accountable. I was living with my dad in Prescott, and we attended some services with a brother, Rudin, in the Phoenix area. And he was able to call out my mother and others, just like Brother Brandon did in the healing line, with the same spirit of discernment. But we found out later that the gift was real, but the ministry and the man, that is Rudin, was not genuine. We also find where Brother Brandt wanted to go to Africa, but instead was talked into going to India. Brother Brandt said again he was rebuked by the Lord for this. Many times Brother Brandt said he listened to others that surround him instead of obeying the leadership of the Lord. I don't say these things to rebuke Brother Branham or point fingers of condemnation, but we can see in the scriptures where there is a distinct separation from the man and the ministry or office which they hold. They are still subject to the same temptation that you and I are, and are not to be elevated to a position above their calling. Brother Branham, when preaching the seven seals, said he taught all seals in one night, and had the same error and misunderstanding on the horse riders that the theologians and other scholars did. I'm sure you can even remember when Brother Brandt contacted Jack Moore and asked him about the white wig on Jesus. Also look at Elijah when he separated himself and went into the cave claiming that he was the only one left, and God rebuked him and told him, I have 7,000 just like you that have not bowed down the knee to Baal. They all, regardless of their ministry and calling, still have a human side. Look at John the Baptist. When he baptized Jesus and cried out, Behold the Lamb of God. And then when in prison, begins to doubt and tells his disciples to go ask Jesus if he is the one or if there is another to follow. You mentioned two areas in your letter to my dad which also make this point. You mentioned Hezekiah and how he was granted an extension of his life, which I believe was walking in the permissive will of God instead of the direct will. We see the result because he ended up in a worse shape or condition with the extension. The time was not used wisely. Then look at the office and ministry of Jonah. We see he came with an explicit message from God and preached that judgment was coming. In today's term, a lot of people would call Jonah a false prophet. Why? Because what he preached never come to pass. If you look at Peter, he was given the keys to the kingdom and exported the path to salvation, which is the word of the Lord to every generation. You will see he still had to be corrected by Paul. So we see that correction has to take place because of a love and concern for others. Also, that correction must be done regardless of the office that is held. In other words, no office is above correction. That's true, isn't it? Some people think, oh, I'm the apostle. That's what I heard recently. And they make me want to vomit. Let me just stop here for a moment. In the message church, we have all these little frictions here. Then we have a portion. I mean, after all, if God sent a message, there must be an elect, right? No matter how small it is. 60 million people in the world believe in this entire message. What is supposed to be from a statistics, I don't know. But there got to be an element of people, 1% or 1%? 1%, Brother Ben used to like to say that. I don't know how many percent. Huh? But there got to be an element of people that believe, that stick to the word. What the prophet said, come back to the original, come back to the apostle father's faith. There must be a people. Right? Okay, these are the people that take just the word. Logos itself. The word of God. Yes.
True enough. Good. But then there are some that went into the extreme.
How do you have unity?
That's good. That's a good question, isn't it?
How do you have unity? Only unity comes by the word of God. There's no other way. Huh?
But you know, this one that I heard when I was over in the States. Oh my.
Try to have unity by force. Try to have unity by his way. How do you do that?
Do you ever see in the Bible that Paul went up there to Peter and hold him by the collar and said, you better have agreement with me. Or else you're not part of me.
Unity is by the word, it's by the Spirit. Not by because you must follow what I believe and believe what I believe.
Or else you wouldn't have unity.
Well, surely that's what Barnabism is all about. As long as you quote Brother Branham, as long as you use the quote of Brother Branham, it doesn't matter whether you believe in two souls or not, I still believe. As long as you take, maybe I'm wrong, you're right. That sort of stuff. And here you have people take Brother Branham's tips and statements and quotes, and what do? They form all kinds of doctrine. Isn't it right?
Sure.
The man who told me, the minister who told me, he says, how can you go back to the Bible when the denomination has been doing that all these thousands of years and they fail? Only the word of the Lord comes only to the prophet. But the same thing happened in this entire message. When people go to the book of Brother Branham and still they create isms. They create schisms. Is that alright?
True. They never fail.
That's why they can take the statements of Brother Branham and go into two souls. And those that don't believe in two souls will try to argue against those that have been two souls. Who is to say that those who believe in two souls are wrong? After all, they took the word from the quotes of Brother Branham. The polygamists. The brother over in the States is telling me, Brother Dan, that's down not far from where I stay, where I live, there is a church and a pastor believing in polygamy. I said, I wouldn't be surprised that he actually must have been having another wife. He said, that's right. Any time that you commit an error and you want to support your error, go to Brother Abraham's court. You can find a place there to support you. You don't think so?
Sure.
Like anybody could take the Bible and prove it. Huh? Isn't it so? Church of Christ said there's no music in the church. No musical instrument. Say, I don't see that in the New Testament. That they have any instrument there. So you see. Huh? Jehovah's Witnesses. Thou shalt not kill. Take the cord. See. That's why we don't want to have national service in Singapore. We don't believe in doing national service and carry guns. You see how they quote the Bible? The moment they have the ass. Whatever they want to quote to support their belief. Polygamy or whatever.
Sure, you can do that.
Just that. But right in this core, when you have those that stay in the Word and try to make themselves above others, that person has gone overboard. You know Paul? Sure, people can quote Paul. Paul says, if you think you're spiritual or you're a prophet, take heed to the word that I speak out from the Word of God. A man may try to quote, use this to quote, you know. But if you don't know how Paul used it, then you are getting into trouble. Alright, let me continue with the quote of this man from the article that he has written. Alright. In other words, let me read from the paragraph, the last sentence. So we see that correction has to take place because of a love and concern for others, and also that correction must be done regardless of the office that is held. In other words, no office is above correction. Jesus said that when one steps out of line, then we are to go to them with the spirit of reconciliation and restore the brother in love. Not in condemnation and criticizing, but with love and concern for their spiritual welfare. I unfortunately see a lot of condemnation. But I see very little church order in practice in the message churches. When a brother or sister leave, no one contacts them and try to restore, reconcile. Instead, they say, they couldn't handle the word. In my way, or the highway, I always ask them, whose word? You haven't followed the word because you never went to them in love. We want to make sure that we are pointing to Jesus Christ, not leaning on our own understanding and causing others to lose sight and focus on Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible said? They were not of us. They leave us because they were not of us. People use that very common. Huh? And then when sometimes they want to reconcile a person back to the church, they try to make use of their doctrine to reconcile the person. I know it's kind of hard when it comes to this thing, because people many times have make up their mind what they want to believe. You have many others out there that walk away when 1977 came and gone. Some claim even though Brother Branham said, I predict that it was touched the Lord. Others have said there are quotes on tapes where he said, touch of the Lord. Now, there are others that claim that Brother Branham told Billy Paul, before he was an old man, the place where he and Brother Branham were standing would be a swimming pool. Billy Paul is definitely an old man now, and California is still standing. The point is, brother, we are not to follow any man, but instead, listen to the message that is being spoken. Paul has told us that visions and dreams were passed away and failed, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. The word of the Lord is the revealed word, and that takes spirit and truth. Or as Bob Ram said, the mechanics and the dynamics both coming together. The children of Israel recognized Moses as the messenger of God with a ministry and calling from God, yet they all died in the wilderness. So it's not in recognizing the messenger, but Joshua and Caleb had the revelation of the message that was delivered through the messenger Moses, and this is why they possessed the reward and overcame all the obstacles and reached the promised land. If you listen to the rapture message tape in 1965, Yuma, Arizona, Brother Branham says the next great event that we are looking and waiting for is the rapture. And that is what we are to be preparing for. What will take place in the rapture has been disputed by believers for years. But Abraham said, sometimes the biggest mistake we made is that we look so far off in the future that we fail to realize and acknowledge what God is doing right now. This is the mistake the Pharisees and the Sadducees made. They had the word of the Lord from Isaiah that a virgin would conceive, and they held to that, and they missed the actual event because they had no revelation. They had the letter of the law, but not the spirit to quicken and bring it to light. This is why Brother Branham warned us all to take everything back to the Word. And if it doesn't light up from Genesis to Revelation, then run as fast as you can away from it. But if it lights up with the Word, and you do not have the understanding which comes by Revelation, then Brother Branham said it to put it on the shelf and just wait on the Lord to reveal it to you in His time. And I think that's well written. You know, that's the problem that we have, brothers and sisters. Why do we put so much emphasis on this word? And sometimes the people who call themselves ministers, they are not able to, as Paul would say, let us come to the feast of the word. But also when we come, let us have sincerity and speak the truth. But many are not even willing to speak the truth. I have been here in Singapore and Malaysia, I've dealt with certain people. They come to me, I don't believe in this brother God, but behind my back, they believe in it. Why are they deceiving themselves? That's why the Bible talks about sincerity. That's why the angel told the prophet, you can only be sincere. Not be sincere with God or anybody, but yourself. I don't know why you deceive yourself. Oh yes, we know that we all cannot be deceived. As the Bible says, the elect cannot be deceived. Yet all these that call themselves elect, are they not deceived? They believe in two souls and polygamy and the return ministry. Why did they get that? They got it because they don't stick to the Bible. That's why they got it. If you study the Bible, that's the only place you'll find truth and not error. And as the prophet of God said, take back to the word, get back to the word. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to stay on this word until the Lord Jesus comes. As the Bible says, sure, dreams and visions have passed away, but the word of God will never pass away. And someone said to me, well, just recently only, you know what is so important to this minister and some of these people in this entire message? The thing that all that this message consists of is to get people to believe that God sent a prophet and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not what it is. That is not it. Is it so important as to believe that God sent a prophet? If I'm a sinner, I know nothing about God. You talk to me about a prophet? I'm a Gentile, for goodness sake. I'm not a Jew. You tell a Jew, yes, God sent a prophet, they would believe. They're because they need to look to a prophet. Because that's all they know since Old Testament time. But if I'm a Gentile and an unbeliever, the first thing I need to know is how to get salvation. Then that's all you can talk to me that God sent a prophet to strengthen my every Christian. That's fine. But the first thing we want to do, you know, God sent a prophet. That's the same thing. Well, sometimes, of course, like in certain cases, some people get to the salvation because they were introduced that way. But that's certainly not God's way. But God's grace. And that's the reason why people don't come according to the word of the Lord, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, well, salvation is still theirs. It's grace. You understand? But God's way is to repent. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God always have a certain way. But people don't want it many times. They want to go it by the permissive way. And in the end, they get themselves all messed up. So let us stay the word, and that's what we're going to do until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, for what you have granted us today, Lord, in fellowship. The little talk that we have, Father, pray that, Lord, you touch the heart. And we thank you, Father, for what you have done for us, in opening our eyes, Lord, to the world that we live in, and be able to see, Father, not things only in history, and not only things in the future, Lord, but what you are doing now at this time, in the hearts of your people, in the life of your people, in the bride, in the body, Lord. And we know, Father, Lord, the time is fast spent now, and until the bride gets herself perfected in the word, which word grounded, that we'll be not tossed to and fro with all that kind of doctrines, Lord, then we will know, Father, once the body is perfect and lined up with thy word, and well clothed, then there will come a transformation, and truly then, it will be time when this body will put on fine linen, clean and white, that will be testifying to the righteousness of the word of Christ in our life. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. Bless all now in Jesus Christ's name.